From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews as he brings the next portion of a message called Doing the Impossible Through Faith, showing how God used imperfect men such as Barak and Jephthah to accomplish his will. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, More Than Mere Words. The text is Acts chapter 13 and verse 34. I will give you the sure mercies of David. Nothing of man is sure, but everything of God is so. Especially are covenant mercies sure mercies, even as David said, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. We are sure that the Lord meant his mercy. He did not speak mere words. There is substance and truth in every one of his promises. His mercies are mercies indeed. Even if a promise seems as if it must drop through by reason of death, yet it never shall, for the good Lord will make good his word. We are sure that the Lord will bestow promised mercies on all his covenanted ones. They shall come in due course to all the chosen of the Lord. They are sure to all the seed, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. We are sure that the Lord will continue his mercies to his own people. He does not give and take. What he has granted us is the token of much more. That which we have not yet received is as sure as that which is already come. Therefore, let us wait before the Lord and be still. There is no justifiable reason for the least doubt. God's love and word and faithfulness are sure. Many things are questionable, but of the Lord we sing, for his mercies shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure.
Fill the earth below.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it.
Thank you.
Continuing this message called Doing the Impossible Through Faith, Dr. Cairns turns to verses 32 through 35 of Hebrews 11, which contains a list of various Old Testament saints who achieved remarkable victories over Israel's enemies by faith. The inspired writer refers to God's use of imperfect people to accomplish his purpose. Men such as Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. These heroes of faith faced nearly insurmountable opposition. Yet through faith in the God of heaven and earth, they saw glorious triumphs. We are told that they subdued kingdoms, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. These were real people facing real situations. In applying this passage to God's people today, Dr. Cairns calls Christians to faith in the God who has not changed, who still empowers his servants to do exploits for him. Now, with the next portion of Doing the Impossible Through Faith, here is Dr. Cairns.
I want to tell you that faith in Christ will storm the strongholds of the devil, subdue his kingdom. Since I am absolutely certain that the kingdoms of this world are to become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, then we can take the gospel to this world with the absolute assurance that the victory is secure. Let's realize faith subdues kingdoms inside and outside. Then they wrought righteousness. Now in the scriptures, that really means they did right. One of the great things, one of the great marks of faith is that you live right. Don't tell me you believe a whole lot of great things when you're living wrong. You don't believe anything the right way unless you're living right. This notion that your belief is all right and your doctrine's all right and your living is all wrong is totally foreign to Scripture. Faith in Jesus Christ will always enable a man to live right. Now, that's not to say he's perfect. That's not to say he'll not fail. Every one of these men failed. And I know that the world and sometimes preachers make the same mistake, would fasten upon your failures. And I know the devil would want you to dwell upon your failures. And he would want you to misinterpret what I'm saying to drive you even further into despair and into defeat. But the point I'm making is that while your faith is active in Christ, you will live right. It is unbelief that produces sin. It's unbelief that leads you into defeat. It's losing the sight of Christ. It's having your mind close to Christ, your heart close to Christ, your will close to Christ, your affection close to Christ that leads you into sin. But all faith in Jesus Christ will enable you to do right, however difficult it is, whatever the opposition may be, whatever your own internal weakness may be, whatever the cost may be. Faith in Jesus Christ will always enable you to do right. The knowledge of your duty will not help you to do right. It'll show you what you ought to do, but it won't give you the motive power to do it. The fear of failure will not enable you to do right. Again, it may drive you to try, but it will lead you ultimately to frustration. There is only one key to doing right, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. You have the Lord steadily before you, and you'll do right. You do not do wrong when your eyes and your mind and your heart are fixed on Christ. That's what he's saying. By faith they wrought righteousness in an ungodly world. By faith they were different. By faith they could steer clear of the filth of this world. I think also, of course, that there's a lot of truth in the interpretation of that particular statement, that by faith they executed justice. You think of the son of the high priest, Phinehas, And he came and he executed judgment. And Elijah later did the same thing on apostates. He took the sword in his hand and he executed judgment. I want to tell you, there's one part of the ministry that we need to recapture today. And that's to take that sword of the Spirit and start to slay the enemies of God, to start to deal with the apostasy. Now, when I talk about the enemies of God, you can say every sinner is an enemy of God. But I am not talking about the run-of-the-mill sinner. We need to see them saved. We need to love those sinners. We need to labor for those sinners. We need to pray over those sinners. We need to show them the warmth of a heart that cares for them. We need to reach out the hand to lift the fallen and bring them and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. No, when I talk about the enemies of God, I am particularly talking about the apostates, the deniers of the faith. I'm talking about men who come as wolves in sheep's clothing, who try to bleat like sheep while all the time they are rending the flock of God. I'm talking about men who say they are ministers of Jesus Christ but deny the essentials of the gospel, sell the gospel out for the devil's worldly mess of pottage. I'm talking about modernistic apostasy. I'm talking about ecumenical apostasy. We need today to lift the sword of the Spirit and start to go after the apostates. No time now to be soft and pussyfooting about apostasy. This church has always been a church, and I'm talking about not only the local church, but the entire denomination, has always been a church on the front line of the battle for the faith of Jesus Christ. That's where we have been, and that's where we intend to stay. Back in Northern Ireland, we always had the idea that if an apostate, a wicked denier of Jesus Christ, came to town, we wanted him to know that we were against him. And we were. We have today apostates slaughtering the souls of millions and sending them to hell from a church pew. The government focuses on drink and drugs and guns and AIDS and all the rest of it, and all those things are terrible, terrible problems, and they're sending their millions to hell. But I sometimes wonder, when God looks down, does he not find churches sending as many people to hell as bars and brothels? Because if they're preaching another gospel, you be sure they are ravaging their souls. We need to execute judgment on apostasy. We read they obtained the promises. Now, just as a matter of interest, it should be stated that there's no contradiction here with verse 39, where we read they received not the promise. Just be very careful when you read the Bible. Here it says, they obtained promises. There it says, they received not the promise. There's a difference. The promise is the promised Messiah with the salvation. And I think, as we'll see when we get to the end of the chapter, with a special emphasis upon the final exhibition of the glory of that salvation for eternity in Christ, that they didn't enter into that. They were told that it was coming, but they didn't actually receive that. But along the line, they obtained many promises. They saw them fulfilled. In other words, by faith, they proved that God kept his word. Simple statement. But man, that's where we have got to get in our Christian experience. We have got, by faith, to prove God fulfills his word. So many of us are living our lives on hearsay. God keeps his word. Well, Moses said it, Elijah said it, Paul said it, Peter said it. So therefore God keeps his word. Now, it's wonderful to believe it because the Bible says it. But how much better to know that what the Bible says is true in your own experience by a personal, vital fellowship with God. By faith, to obtain promises. Now, you're not going, and this is just a little word, by the way. I have to remember my intention not to stop off and preach all these different things. But you're not going to obtain promises the way most Christians do. I mean, you may as well go and stare at the flowers in your wallpaper and hope that one of them will suggest a promise to you as to go the way most Christians go about it. I don't know if you have them here, maybe, probably do, but back in Northern Ireland for years, almost every Christian home you went into had what they called the promise box. And they had these little, looked like cigarettes, only they had nothing inside them, just little rolls of paper stuck in the box. And so you would just go and you would take a lucky dip and you'd pull one out and say, oh, that's the promise of God for me today. And of course you got some real crazy things and you put it back in until you got one that suited you. I mean, if a man put his hand in there and he got a promise that was given to a woman about bearing children, it was not much use to him, so he had to stick it back in and get another one. And that happened. That's how you get your promise. Don't you believe it? That's not how you get your promise. How do you get a promise from God? Well, another way is, I'm not saying that God can never use this, but I'm telling you, it's not the way that you normally go. The Lord can certainly do anything. And there have been times, even through a promise box, he's directed a person. But there are times you just come and people open the Bible looking for the first thing that hits them. Doesn't work. Wrong book, close it again. Open up again until they get the right one. Now, the Lord can. There have been times when, almost unconsciously, people have just been turning in the Bible and they've been praying at the same time and something has almost jumped off the page at them and the Lord has really blessed it personally to their heart. And I'm not mocking that or denigrating that in any way. But what I am saying is that if you're going to know the promise of God, you're going to be in the Word of God, you're going to be spending time with the Lord, and the Lord will in his own way open up his Word to you. He knows how to speak to you. Don't force yourself to find a promise. Let the Lord reveal himself and his Son and his Word to you, and he'll do it. But obtain the promises, not just the statement, but the fulfillment. Obtain the promises. Then we read, they stopped the mouths of lions. Well, of course, you know of Daniel. By faith. Reading the Old Testament, you have the plain statements, of course, that the Lord closed the lions' mouths. But reading the New Testament interpretation, you're made to realize that when Daniel went into that den of lions, remember it was a den of lions, it wasn't just a lion's den. Any fool can go into a lion's den, as long as the lion's somewhere else. But he went into a den of lions. The lions were there. And Daniel had no notion of dying in that lion's den. By faith, Daniel, according to Paul here, Daniel shut the lions' mouths. Now it was the Lord who did it, but Daniel's faith closed their mouths. That's what he's saying. The power of faith. When you hear the devil roaring like a great lion, all for faith. To shut his mouth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.